With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So you like drinking coffee?
I like drinking coffee.
Are we recording?
Yeah, hey, we're recording, man. Always
sounds
recording.
Like the intro to another sponsor.
Yeah.
Do you like drinking coffee?
You see, you can do it. Yeah. You can just... the friendly
coffee company. Looking...
What, you can just sell anything. Okay, try and
give me something to sell.
I want you to sell anthrax.
Anthrax, okay. Anthrax, for those enemies you can't quite get rid of.
I want to buy it.
Francis, try. Okay, you have to sell, Francis. You have to sell. You have to sell. Go on, Ed. You give him something to sell.
Something tricky to sell.
Something really tricky.
God, but that, how am I going to top that anthrax one?
I know, it's so good. You have to try and sell the latest cement.
What, the latest cement for when you're stuck?
The thing is, that's what I want. If I'm hiring Francis for a voiceover, that's the sort of style of stuff I want. I want it to start with...
yeah, that's what you want,
yeah. Isn't it?
And also him just looking at me like I'm a freak and he's asked me that. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Private Parts. We're still here with Ed Gamble. Hello, Ed.
All right. I'm trying to be meaner.
But this is the thing. Have you?
No, just try and be sexier.
And have you?
Everyone's sake.
Have you ever? I think.
For God's sake, Ed.
Because you, I mean, you've never. You would never been in a fight or anything like that. Have you ever? Have you ever been in a fight?
I think I've been in a fight. I'm not sure I've necessarily fought back.
I'm the same as you then,
with your girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. Just fetal position. No, I've been. You know, I've been in physical fracas before, but I didn't deal out many.
You didn't do it?
No, I just...
Jamie just hires someone to go and do it.
Hire anyone to go and do anything.
To go... What was it?
What was what?
What? Who what? Didn't you hire that guy to get beat up?
You're trying to claim that I hired someone. I hired a hitman to go and beat someone up. I wouldn't have a clue. Who do you... If you want to call a hitman, who do you... How do you Google it?
Sounds like you're asking.
No, I think Googling it would be a mistake.
Because then you
evidence-wise,
but how would you do it? Going to ask people on the street? Hey,
I think so. I'm not sure that any of us have got the connections to be able to source a hitman at short notice.
I just don't think so. Also, there you have done.
No one's going to admit it, even if they do.
No, exactly.
But Ed, you have done two of my favourite things.
Oh yeah.
Well, one was my favourite thing.
Well, we haven't had the answer to the question of the week yet, but we know that's one of them.
You did it, 13,000. Yeah. No, you did one which was about 4 years ago. It was one of my favourite things. I still don't think got enough recognition. And
okay.
That was the Royals.
Almost Royal.
Almost Royal. It was... You can explain it to our listeners what it is.
So myself and a comedian called Amy Hoggart travelled around the States pretending to be 50th and 51st in line to the throne. And it was like a fake documentary, but the people we were meeting thought it was a real BBC documentary. So we were just in character the whole time and improvising.
Such a great idea for a for a show because there's so much potential there for people.
Oh, yeah.
But the funny thing about that is our friend Spencer Matthews actually believes he is 51st in line to the throne. But what did you... So it's pretty much... It's ad-libbed, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, what we always did was any situation we were going into, we'd write as many potential jokes that we could try and fit into the conversation. Yeah. But because you're meeting people who don't know that they're in a comedy show, you can't really crowbar them in. So we always had them in the back pocket. But most of the time it was just ad-libbing based on what they were responding to.
But it's probably quite easy to then riff off what they're... Like, because they're seriously taking you as a... As
yeah,
a
so genius. The majority of people took it at face value. A, because we were in the States and their reverence for the royalty is just huge.
Well, bigger than ours.
And yeah. Like the respect for the royal family they have is absolutely massive. Yeah, way, way bigger than the British public, I think. And also because it was the BBC America, so they were like, and they love the BBC as well. So we got away with so much.
So you could just walk around and just do and say pretty much, because I feel like in the States you have to like write like release forms and things like that. So that must have been quite tricky at the end that you had to get people to sign things or no.
So first series... We
had, just went for it.
first series, they had to sign the consent form before, so then we could do whatever, and we would definitely be able to use it. Then the law changed somehow, and we had to get the consent form afterwards, so they could just go, "I'm not signing that." But most of the time, they were fine because we were never horrible to them. It was always about us being absolute idiots.
What do you think about that law changing? It sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, it does, absolutely. Yeah, it didn't feel like a good idea at the time because I was like, God damn it, it's going to make the show worse. But
it was that's my first thing that I felt was so funny and so good. And I was in New York when I was watching it, which made it even funnier.
Well, I think I heard about that because one of the producers on Made in Chelsea, New York, was our producer in the States.
That's how I started watching it. He said, "You've got to watch this."
Oh, that's great!
Was it fun making this? One of those things.
It's one of the best things I've ever been involved in because we're just sitting in a van and traveling around to different places and just saying really rude shit to people.
Oh God, it's just
and we had a whole. But the characters had a whole backstory about like people they went to school with, and we were so in tune with each other that we could just dip into the backstory and improvise with each other and people would just buy it straight away.
So did you spend a good deal of time just working on the backstory? So your stories were straight?
Yeah, so
your
stories were solid. Who all the characters' friends from school were and...
So you could finish each other's sentences.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Really? So you went that deep?
Yeah, we were really deep. Yeah, my best friend was Duffy Scruton. Basically, I was listening back to...
Duffy Scruton.
I did watch a bit of Made in Chelsea pre-making that show to try and get some sort of pick up some...
Claiming, so you're going, I'm not posh enough, so I have to find out how to do it. That's too funny.
Because we had a bit in the first series where I had to stand up and give a speech at a meeting of the Tea Party in Boston. And I gave it on the night. It was about 45 minutes. It was a 45-minute speech. It was just a detailed report of a cricket match I'd had at school. And there was a huge list of names. Like I had to run through the whole team.
You're lying.
They were just staring. They had no idea what the fuck was going on. So much fun.
That is so funny.
That is. But how do you, because ad-libbing and being improv is actually quite a niche skill to be good at, right? I always say, and Francis sort of says the same thing, is that what doing our reality show is that...
What do I say?
You say a lot of things, my friend. But doing Chelsea, it taught us to be very good at ad-libbing because you're thrown into situations where you have to ad-lib and do things like that. What do you think ad-libbing taught you in terms of comedy, though? Do you think it helped your comedy or not?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was a weird sort of ad-libbing and improv because when I think improv, I think of people who they know what each other are doing and you know that you're there to do a show.
You're bouncing off each other.
Whereas what we were doing was bouncing off people who had no idea what was going on and quite often just trying to get stuff in and, you know, it doesn't necessarily teach you to listen. It teaches you to wait for the gaps. And
you never really know where... You never really know what you're going to get out of it.
And also we learned to, I think more than anything, we learned to really just live in the silences because that was the funniest bits of the show when we'd say something outrageous and then just let the cameras film them reacting to it.
But this is my issue with it. Like I used to do a YouTube channel and what we used to do was we'd go on the street and we'd try and do things. And I can stand in front of 100,000 people and make myself look like a fool.
Yeah.
But have you done that? Because how do you know?
my dream. Dream about it every night. Oh, right, yeah, I just dream about it.
You just dream that you're standing in front of 100,000 people.
Yeah, just making a fool of myself.
What a dream.
Yeah. Just walk me through it. How are you making a fool out of yourself?
I don't know what I would be doing. But it would be foolish, whatever it is. But my point is that I can do that, so I don't mind doing that. But making someone else feel awkward in a scenario, really, and I think that's a British thing, where it makes you feel incredibly awkward.
Yeah, I think we were making them feel awkward, but they were feeling awkward by virtue of the fact I would have said something just insane. So they'd be like, what's going on? And then I'd be looking down the camera, or I developed a character thing where I'd say something and then just look off into the around the place. And that wasn't like... it's not some amazing sort of deep character thing. It was because, A, I was about to laugh because I'd said it, so I have to look away. Or I'd be checking to see if the crew were laughing.
Validation.
Because I am, like, stand-up's the thing that I do the most, and that's what I enjoy doing the most. So I need people to laugh after I say something. So even though we were supposed to be completely undercover, I'd laugh and then just, like, look around. See if the director is laughing.
That's a problem. It's like the same time. Because, Ed, you do low, you know, you host Mock the Week occasionally and things like
that. Dara O'Brien is going to be very angry if he hears that.
Hey, with your hosting voice, you should be. With that face
I'm on,
and that
I'm
hosting
on,
voice.
I'm on it a lot.
You're on it a lot. You do loads of different things. And, Francis, you've done loads as well, and so have I. Not Mock
not
the Week.
Loads.
Yeah, we haven't done loads.
Yeah, we've never done an episode together.
I've never done any.
Haven't done any Mock the Week. I don't know why I said that. But what my point is that, when you're doing one of those shows, the most irritating thing, do you find, this is kind of like ad-libbing it, sort of improv and stuff like that, is when you suddenly think of something funny and you can't find the moment to jump in and say it. And then the moment's gone, you're like, oh no, how do I try and bring it back?
And then when you do say it, it's not funny.
Exactly, the moment's gone. Yeah, that happens on Mock the Week all the time because it's a long record. It's like a 3-hour record for a 20-something minute show. And you'll be talking about a news story and it'll just be furious, like people just getting jokes in left, right and centre. And we're like, okay, here we go. I've got this big joke that I've written. I'm going to get that in there. And then it'll be moved on to the next story. And you definitely can't go, about the news story we were talking about earlier, actually, I had quite the zinger. Do you remember when you said that? I was going to say something. Okay, no, fair enough. Yeah, it's really annoying.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So how long do you get to write the Mock the Week jokes?
It's the day before. We're writing a lot about just reading the news.
In a group? Separately.
Yeah. Separately panicking and texting each other going, oh God.
God, do you think this is going to be funny?
Yeah, we've got to talk about Brexit again.
God, I remember I had to do, there was a TV show that was on ITV2 and Rick Edwards hosted it.
Yeah.
So I don't think I've ever said that. This is actually, okay, well, I'll say it, whatever. Two things happened. We did this TV show and it was called something. Anyway, the whole point of the premise of the show was he would take your phone and he would look for your phone, and the TV show would be about you revealing things about the TV. Pete, do you remember what the TV show was called?
Safe Word.
Safe Word.
Ah, right, okay.
It was called Safe Word. Anyway, what they would do is they would take your phone and they would go through your phone and you would have to, like, reveal what's in your phone or not reveal to gain points and things like that. And two things about that. Firstly, the really bad thing was I was about to continue to do a sort of TV thing with a famous TV host.
Yeah,
she's a host of a TV show, and
you going to say who it is?
No, I'm not going to say who it is. But I had googled her name, and you know when you Google people's names, that it sort of goes on to different things. And one of the things that popped up was it said the person's name in thong bikini on a beach. That's what right. it said.
Or that you'd search.
I didn't search it. Just
searched.
No, I didn't search.
Well, those things come on the drop-down menu of someone. So that would have been saved on there from the last time you searched it, right?
Yeah, so it was saved on there.
Yeah, but that means you searched it.
No, I didn't search. No, it clicked up and I clicked on it. That's the whole point.
So you typed it out in full and clicked on it.
I didn't type it out. It popped up. Anyway, the point was is that I then did the safe word thing. He was going through my phone and he read out this person what I had Googled. And I was like, what? And I was going to go see this person again. And she was like, why are you Googling me?
Was she on the show as well?
No, she wasn't on the show, but I was like, she's going to see this. That was a really bad thing about it. And the second thing we had to do, I did it with, who is the lovely host, who was the ex-host of Countdown?
Carol Vorderman.
Carol Vorderman, I did it with Carol Vorderman. She was the other person. At the very end, we had to do a roasting against each other. And this was about 4 years ago. I had no idea about comedy. And I had to stand up and try and do a comedy roast with Carol Vorderman. turns out, I was so bad. The show was never... then happened again. It was never recommissioned.
Did it broadcast though?
Broadcast. You can watch it. Me trying to roast Carol Vorderman.
What sort of things did you say about Carol Vorderman?
Oh, I said things like, I think I went bring. Who is it? Not Carol Vorderman, it's Rachel Riley. Things like that. Oh, God, it makes me really cringe thinking about it.
I'm going to watch it.
Okay, enjoy.
I'm definitely going to watch it.
Well, I think everyone who's listening is going to probably search it now.
Yeah. But the second thing, which I just thoroughly enjoy at the moment, is your podcast that you're doing.
Oh, thank you very much.
Which is so good. It's called Off Menu. It's with James Acaster, who is on the podcast, who we'll say he's a friend of ours. I'm just going to claim it. You probably know if he is.
I spoke to him about coming on this yesterday and he was very complimentary.
Oh, so he was very, very funny and he just is. But your podcast is great. And it must be nice for you coming back from doing your old podcast to this new one, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of, I enjoy doing it a lot, mainly because we've got a brilliant producer, the great Benito, who does everything for us. We just turn up and record it and then he edits it and does all of that, so we just get to do the fun stuff.
Yeah, which is the best thing about it.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But what gave you the idea to kind of do sort of food and you can explain the premise of the show.
Yeah, so it's just it's basically Dream Meal. It's, we have a special guest on and they pick their dream starter, main course, side dish, drink and dessert. And the premise is that we're in a sort of dream restaurant and James is a genie waiter, which is a format point he did not tell me about until we started recording the first one.
Why a genie waiter?
Because then the genie can get whatever you want. So it's like you wish for whatever food, you know, the favourite main course you've ever had, or, you know, the main course that your mum cooks you, or the main course from the perfect holiday or something. And the genie can go, I'm not on board with the genie.
Yeah.
You're now looking at me with the face that I looked at James at with. I've got...
But you had to just go with it because you're in the middle of a podcast.
You've got to roll with it.
You've got to go with it.
You can't go put the microphones away.
But
I'm not doing a podcast with the genie.
Come across as magic, as we're basically.
Yeah, it needs to be magical. Yeah, but now it's taken on a whole. I mean, we recorded one the other day. Spoiler warning: it turns out the genie has socks and comes out of the lamp foot first.
but I feel like James can get away with things like that because he is slightly bizarre.
He's an odd man.
He's an odd man and slightly goofy. But you guys, I feel like the same with France. Like, the great thing to listen to podcasters like that is when you have such a rapport with each other, because you and James must have known each other for years.
Oh, yeah, we're really good friends and have spent so long talking about food and eating in restaurants together. I think it just seemed like a natural thing to talk about. And people seem
we should
to...
record this that you're having.
Yeah, this is such a great chat.
but you...
People need to hear this.
But then you are diabetic. Does that mean you're not allowed to eat certain things?
No, I'm type 1 diabetic, so I can eat whatever I like. I just need to be sort of across what my blood sugar level is, and I can inject insulin to eat whatever I like, really.
Oh, what does it feel like when you inject the insulin?
So sexy.
It's actually the most unsexy thing. You just jab it into your leg.
Yeah,
like, no, well, hold on 1 second. Just jab it in.
Do you ever do it through your clothes?
You can. I mean, you technically could. Yeah. You just literally just...
Yeah, does it not hurt?
Public. Not really. There's a tiny little needle. It's a very thin, tiny needle.
On that note, we've got to stop there for a moment because we have another word from our sponsors. Ed, what do you hate? What food do you really despise then? Because you're obviously a big foodie. You love food.
Yeah. There's not much that I genuinely hate. We talk about on the podcast quite a lot of the time. We have a secret ingredient where if the guest says it, then they get kicked off the podcast. It's only happened once. But a lot of those secret ingredients have been things like cardamom pods. Where you find a cardamom pod in something and end up crunching down on it. Just little things like that. Poppy seeds.
Eating a bay leaf.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've had bay leaf, yeah. If you accidentally get a bay leaf in there.
A bay leaf? What? Bay leaf? Well, I can't even...
No, that look not, like it's not the Irish drink.
Yeah.
Does it look like a...
It's like a dried leaf.
Yeah, like a leaf, like a little leaf. And you put it in there for flavour.
Like lemongrass.
So similar situation.
Except a leaf.
I don't know why they put lemongrass in. I took one out and tried to chew it once.
Yeah, well, that's the point. So it's terrible. Same with the bay leaf. Yeah. You don't want it in there.
But why do they put it in there?
I think it imparts flavour, but you should take it out before you serve it to someone. And
the other thing you said is those little what are they, little cardamom?
Cardamom pods.
Oh, they're little pops of horror.
Yeah, pops of horror, that's it.
They're terrible.
You get them in a curry or something. Yeah, ruin a curry.
Oh, the other one is when you have a big ham and they put those things in them. What are
cloves.
They? Oh,
cloves. Awful. Yeah. No.
Terrible.
So those sorts of things we talk about on the podcast a lot. See, I wouldn't say I dislike any particular food. It's just those little additions that really ruin a meal.
I feel like we just rolled into your podcast.
Yeah.
We
just welcome to the off-menu podcast.
You just took your podcast.
Hey, we're going to make this a new format feature.
Talking about food, just take your one. Right, Francis, it's come to that moment of the podcast where we need to have the answer to the question of the week. So please reveal.
To the answer to the question of the week, which was how many times does the average man masturbate in a lifetime? Jamie, you went... very conservatively, I think, for your own...
10,000?
You think you were pretty conservative even...
Well, Ed went for like a million, didn't you? What did you go
for? I didn't go for... I went for 13,000 in the end.
Yeah, the answer is actually 10,500.
That's what we originally calculated.
We did! We were 200 off!
Yeah. Well, 10,543.
Mate, we were there.
Yeah, and then I went and said 13,000. I'm clearly some sort of grubby, wanking monkey boy.
Yeah, some pervert for it. I love that. That's a...
You love that?
I love that. Love that I'm below the average. Ed Gamble, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Honestly,
no pun intended with the loss.
Let's make it smutty at the end like that.
Hey, well... You know, it was a smutty question, I suppose.
Ed, honestly, man, thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
You're hugely talented and so funny. Go and check out Ed and James's podcast, Off Menu. Can't miss it. It just hangs out the top of the iTunes list.
Yeah.
It's where it hangs out most of the time, isn't it?
And your Instagram, what is it?
Now, what the way that question was asked does suggest that you don't know what Instagram is. And what is that?
Twitter.
Ed Gamble Comedy on both of those platforms.
And you've got your website.
I've got my website, edgamble.co.uk.
And you're on tour?
I'm on tour from the end of January.
Who owns edgamble.com?
I didn't actually look. I think we just went, I'm patriotic, so I just went straight for .co.uk.
Yeah. But Ed Gamble you'd think it's a gambling website as well, wouldn't you?
It's like an order. Every time you wake up, someone says your name, Ed Gamble. Ed Gamble. You're like, okay.
Who is waking me up like that? Ed Gamble.
Me. Every morning.
Oh, your mum.
Ed, you're on tour next year. Go and get tickets because it will be absolutely genius. Buddy, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank
we can't wait to come on Off Menu. It's going to be, I feel like it's going to be your best episode yet.
I think so.
Well, we'd have to come on separately because we'd have different meals, wouldn't we?
Yeah, you would. But I'd quite like to see you do your meal separately on the same podcast with each other.
I think we do that. I think we do it together. Yeah. It's much cooler. And then
I'll come on again at least.
So you can properly get your meal out of it.
Ed, what we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Oh, and that's... That's me. I'm
that's for you.
I should normally tee people. I never say that whenever I say, this is what we do. I say everything apart from that one bit. Everyone gets surprised at the end. So yeah, this is the moment.
Because no one listens to the end, so they don't know it's coming.
Yeah, they do. They do listen to the end.
Well, everyone who's cool does.
Yeah, if you're cool, you're hey, you, Janet, listening right now.
Okay.
You, James Acaster, listening right now. We know. Hey, you, Eddie Izzard, listening. I don't know.
Those are the people that you know.
I don't know Eddie Izzard.
I've got something inspirational for all the men out there. Once you hit 10,543, you have to stop.
Because you're above average.
You're above average.
Ed Gamble, everybody. See you next week. Bye bye.
That was a very funny
episode. Cheers, man.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.